I'm Marilyn McCarney. Betsy Payette and I are interviewing personnel who were instrumental in developing Renfrew Museum and Park. Today is April 2nd, 1993, and Eleanor Miller, or Ellie as she is known, is being interviewed. She had been coordinator of the guides from March 1982 through March 1985.
Would you like to share some reminiscences about your experiences here at Renfrew, please, Mrs. Miller?
Surely. Let's see. We'll start back when I think one of my first memories of Mrs. Nicodemus was when she was at this sale downtown, and it would have been very close to where Waynesboro Electric was. And I was there, and she bought the rooster that was on top of John Ball's property. And I thought, who would spend all that money for a dumb old rooster? I now know why she did it, but at that time I did not appreciate those things. I came on board here with Renfrew when I read in the paper that they were going to ask for guides, and I started with the original group when Mary Jane Miller and Blanche Ducart were basically in charge. And that was when the woman from Winnetour came and more or less set up the museum. At that time they had, I think, corner cupboards in every room displaying most of the things that were in the collection. They had one cupboard or corner cupboard with spatterware, and the chalkware was up in the children's room. I think the creamware was up in the curly maple room. But anyway, they had the corner cupboards all over the place. And the oriental rugs were down, and I did have the oriental rug dealer that we deal with from Washington, and he came up and he looked at the oriental rugs here, and he said they are priceless. And the one I remember is called a cabestan. That must be very, very old. There weren't too many visitors those first couple years. A lot of times I'd come down and they wouldn't have anybody here. And then we change, every time they change curators, they change the decorations in the house. And of course, they eventually, when I started, they had the chandelier in the dining room, which I understand Mrs. Nicodemus was extremely proud of. I understand it did come from Baltimore. I don't know for certain. That has been removed. I know the lolling chairs in the front parlor, they were basically opened on the bottom and pretty much torn apart, trying to prove that they were not completely original. Of course, anything that's that old would not be original completely. But that material cost $50 a yard at that time. For a period of time, they took that secretary out of the living room, out of the front parlor, and put it away. Fortunately, it is back. I understand it is a married piece, where probably the bottom was made first and the top was made later, and they put it together. But it is supposed to have been made in Waynesboro. Mr. Koenig started redoing the kitchen. And one thing that kind of blew my mind was when they bought that old broom for $125.
Where did they get that old broom for $125?
I have no idea. I think that came from Funkstown. I'm not positive, but $125 for that. But anyway, then they gathered other things. When the museum first opened, they had basically all the collection of Mrs. Nicodemus. And then the controversy started. They said it was not supposed to be a museum with furnishings after 1830. I was under the impression it should have been the collection of Mrs. Nicodemus with most of her things. And I think it was during Mr. Koenig's time they had a big sale. They sold a lot of things. Fortunately, I bought one of the couches, but that was a reproduction. She had two reproductions from that couch in the living room. But it was a handmade, those two were handmade in Baltimore and signed. So I feel very fortunate to have a piece of that in my collection. I was here when they discharged Mary Jane Miller and Blanche Ducart and forgot the secretary's name.
Gail Stolliver.
Gail, right. And that was a big controversy. And that's when I started going to the board meetings. And with perseverance, eventually they created the job of coordinator of guides. And that's when I came on board. And I started, that relieved the secretary and the curator of looking for guides to cover times. They'd call me and I would set up a schedule. And I also started the Christmas program. Letitia Allen was, I think she had left, and Shirley Baker was here when we first started that Christmas program. And I contacted that Dr. George from up in Mercersburg, and I forget the name of the harpsichord player, but he comes now, and they played in the museum at that time. We didn't have any other entertainment, but we did ask the guides, and the guides provided all the cookies for that open house, and it was a big success, and it continued on from there. I do remember one time I took Mr. and Mrs. Leroy Maxwell through the museum, and they asked me if I knew where the corner cupboard came from in the dining room, and I didn't. I just assumed it was probably in the house, and they said, no, that corner cupboard came from Mrs. Maxwell, Pauline Maxwell's grandmother's place. And you'd have to ask Mrs. Maxwell who that, what her name was. The other thing that I understand, there was a little shaker rocker here, and they said that shaker rocker was given to Mrs. Nicodemus when she was a little girl, and they feel that perhaps that was where her first love of antiques started. I don't know if that's true or not.
I think there's a clipping we have in the scrapbook that shows the rocker and mentions that this may have been her first love of antiques, so I think probably it is correct from what you're saying.
And eventually the chalkware was taken out of the corner cupboard, and they only use a few pieces at a time now. Originally everything was stored up in the attic, and of course for insurance purposes it was eventually moved, and now it's all stored above the barn.
Are you still guiding here in
Yes, I still, not as much as I originally did, but I'm still available. I go way too much in the summertime, so I'm not here that much. I did start to help Shirley when she was doing the open hearth cooking for the school children, and I've done a good bit of guiding with those children. What else? For the Christmas program, they had those illuminators, is that what they called? And I was able to get the candles from up at Trinity Church, all the used candles. And I did that for a couple years. At the first open house, we also had that spiced cider. We didn't know how much cider to buy. We did pretty well. It was just about the right amount. And I think they still use that same recipe, if if I'm not mistaken, Undine Warner had that recipe first. I think from the Williamsburg cookbook.
I remember reading in the minutes that I think it was the Christmas celebration you're talking about was so successful that you had not planned on having it two times, but you had it one weekend, and because it was so successful, then you had it another weekend for
yes.
people to come.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And the garden clubs were, I had nothing to do with the garden clubs. They were on their own with the secretaries here. And as I said, with each new curator, it seems they changed the format of the museum, and I can remember they said the brass furnishings on the sideboard in the dining room were not original, and they've taken those off. I don't know where they are now, but they've taken those off. The one thing that has disturbed me the most is they made it so emphatic that there should be absolutely nothing in the museum that was after 1830. And then they came along and they put a brand new clay pipe in the back parlor. I understand they would break over the years, but still in all, it was a principle, the thing, you don't put anything in if it wasn't authentic, but they did. And that was the same way with the bed hangings up in the curly maple bedroom. They made new bed hangings. They said if you would buy original ones, the price would be astronomical. But still in all, it's not original. So they kind of defeated their purpose on some things. I mean, either it's going to be completely authentic, or you're going to have a farmhouse that is more or less like a farmhouse in 1830. That was the one part that disturbed me. I thought you don't say it's black and then make it gray. But I mean, they've brought out pieces that they had put away, and now I think it's pretty good. The room that was originally the Mrs. Nicodemus room, where they have what they call the Nicodemus room, did have a television and a telephone, and that room, I was under the impression, was supposed to stay as it was when Nicodemus has lived here, so it has been moderated since then. But the wallpaper is the same. So.
Did you do any training of the guides to take them through the house?
No, that I never did. When we would get guides, every spring we would have a guide training session. They did make a videotape of going through the museum. They gave everybody a new book, and every time you got a new curator, you got a new guidebook. Now, the one good thing they did, I don't know if it's up to date, but they would put a book in each room, and then if somebody would ask you something specific about a certain piece of furniture, you just said, you really don't know all the details, but I'll read it to you. And if you really got stumped, you said, just wait a minute, I'll get the curator. I didn't do anything as far as training the guides. I did take some would walk with me as I would give, you know, a tour. But I basically just made up the schedule for the guides. And Shirley Baker came on board. Actually, Shirley was one of my guides. She came here because I encouraged her to come. She called me on the phone. She said, do you think I could do it? And I said, I know you can. I mean, anybody can do it if they have a little interest. It's not that hard. I've had some guides, I've listened to their repertoire, and it's not quite according to Hoyle, but you can't say anything. You just go along with it. The hardest thing is when you are giving a tour and somebody walks along and then they start springing all these technical questions and you have no idea what they are. I mean, we are all, you know, we have some general knowledge, but very few are very, very knowledgeable in things, and then they come along and they really want to put you on the spot. I just tell them point blank, I do not know. and that way you can't get really caught in a thing. The most rewarding thing when I first started giving tours was when people, there was so much in the museum, so many collections of things, and people would walk through and say, oh, that was in my grandma's house. Really, people came through more or less to see the collection, not to see so much an antique, an antique farmhouse. They just wanted to see what was here. And I think the biggest thrill was the picture of the nanny and the little girl, which is over there in the wall. And the shoes that are in that picture are in the museum. They belong to the collection in the museum. And people really remarked about that. That made so much of an impression. They really, the majority of people could care less if it is an 1830 farmhouse. They were more interested in the things that were there and, oh, look at there. That's up in Grandma's house, or I remember that in Grandma's house. And I think that is the biggest feeling that comes across when you are taking people through. Children, you can get things through them if you keep repeating and kind of make a little joke about it. I took quite a few children through, and they would come out and they knew one thing. You know, I would emphasize one thing that they had not seen before, especially those reverse paintings on glass. And you'd kid with them, and it would come through. And of course, then they'd look for the bathroom, and we'd find the chamber pot upstairs, and that was real cute. And I think most people really like the children's room. That impresses most of them. The bed that's up in the children's room, I was told that came from Mount St. Joseph's College. And it was one of their original rope beds. Now, I mean, this was when I first started in the museum, so I have nothing to prove that, but that's what, you know, I had heard about. One of the things, as you do take people through the museum, when you first start your tour, you ask them that they should not touch anything or sit down on any of the furnishings because they are quite old. Now, children, if you have too many children in a group, you have a hard time keeping their little fingers off of anything because they want to lean on something as you're explaining things. So you do keep children going through pretty fast. The other hard part are your elderly. They get tired and they want to lean, and you do have to remind them, as you are going through, please don't sit on the furniture. And of course, some of your elderly cannot go upstairs. If you have a small enough group, you don't have any problems, but if you get 10, 15 in a group, somebody wants to hang on behind and look at something extra, you really should have two people, one in front and one in back. They do. I don't think they have quite as many little things sitting out anymore since the museum has been kind of stripped of some of their things. They keep things away, but you must keep looking all the time. I don't think I've ever had anybody that has taken anything, but I try and watch. The only place I've heard of people really taking things, I used to live down in Williamsburg, and that was back in 1953. And they had everything out. They had silver and everything out. And I went back a couple years ago with the Renford group. I guess it was on my own because we went through the whole thing, and everything was put away. I said, what happened to all the furnishings? And they said, people were stealing things right and left. So I am amazed at the silver that is out on the table and the china. And there is a lot here at this museum that you will not find normally in a regular museum.
Was it the case that you had to have scheduled tours to go through Renfrew, or could you just come and visit when it was open?
My earliest recollection is that on a Thursday, Saturday, and Sunday, you could show up here at the museum, because I would sit here in the visitor center and just sit and wait and hope somebody would come, because most of the time you didn't have anybody to come. Now, Mary Jane Miller was here all the time, and I probably through her you could go through, but I think if you had a fair number of people, they would call, which they do now. But most of the time I took just a couple, you know, two people through here, maybe three, four. But most of the time it was just a couple that happened to be going past. The biggest crowd we would have, I think, would be when they had open house on Mother's Day, but the biggest group was the candlelight tour on Christmas, you know, for Christmas.
Now, when you have the candlelight tour, is there a guide with a group to take through, or are you just allowed to go through on your own?
Candlelight tour for Christmas is open, and it's free, and you just walk through. If somebody asks a specific question, you will give them an answer, but you do not give them the tour. You really just greet them, and they walk through. It's at the point now where you don't even have time to really tell anybody anything specific, and they don't want you to give a tour knowledge. They want you to come back and pay your entrance fee. But they have open house for Mother's Day and for the candlelight tour. I don't think there's another free open house, just those two times. And I think the first Mother's Day it was open was a big success. I don't remember helping at that. But I have helped at all, most of the Christmas open houses.
And were you here with Mr. Deemer then when he was here?
Yes.
With him, mm-hmm. And you were here when Mr. Coney was here?
Yes.
And you've been here with Jamie Smith, so you've been here with all of the curators,
right. Mm-hmm.
As well as Peggy Clooney, who was here first for
right.
The winter tour.
Right. Mm-hmm. And I was here when Kathy Plum was secretary. She was here with Mr. Coney. And Kathy was a very, very vivacious person, and she wanted to get the school program started and do all those outdoor things. She really had a lot of, for just being a secretary, she had a lot of knowledge. I think she used to work down at Catoctin. But they did not go along with her.
Is she still in the area, do you know?
She's in Emmitsburg.
Is she married?
Oh, yeah.
Do you know her?
She was married then.
Oh, her married
name? Her name is Plum.
Uh-huh. Maybe we could get in touch with her then and
mm-hmm.
interview her also.
Yeah.
At Emmitsburg, with
Emmitsburg.
Just living in Emmitsburg.
Mm-hmm. She lives on a farm down there. She was a very, very knowledgeable person for not being, I don't think she was basically trained. She was more of a secretary, but boy, she knew what was going on. She knew her antiques, and she was good. Over the years, I have really learned a lot about antiques and the appreciation of antiques and coming to their seminars. They've had good seminars here. And I have gone to lectures that they have sponsored. And the most rewarding lecture was down in York. And that was when Jim Koenig was here. And I went by myself, and I wish I had remembered the name of that man, but he gave the most information on how to give a tour, and how to give a tour to children. And children are not interested in 1811 and 1709 and 1521. All they want to know is that it's an old house, long before Grandma and Grandpa were here. And that makes it interesting to them. And really the same with the average adult group that goes through. They really want to come and see it. And if you can answer some questions, that's the most important thing. As I said, if you get somebody that knows about antiques, you shouldn't be given the tour anyway. You need your curator. And I think Shirley Baker has done a fantastic job on research and everything she's done. I really do. Of course, everybody wants to look down. They used to want, look down those basement steps, those steep basement steps with the rope on them. And of course, that kitchen was not like that when the Nicodemuses lived here. I understand that was a modern type kitchen. And when they took over the house, they dug down and started from the foundation and worked up from there. So those are the things that people ask about. The herb garden, the kids, you take them through there, and that's interesting for them. Same way with the smokehouse. I think they've come a long way here and really made a real good thing for the community. Well, one of the trips, the guide appreciation trips, I've gone on several of them. It seems I'm never home when they go. But I went on one that was down in Maryland in Moonton, which is a little north of Towson. And that's where they have the topiary gardens. You know, the shrubs are in shapes of different animals. You go through the house. The house is cluttered with everything. Lots of horse decorations. That was a very interesting tour. And that was where we had, the gal I went with gave a terrific talk. We have gone up to Harrisburg along the river to Fort Washington, I can't remember all these places, and went through that museum there. We also went through the Governor's Mansion in Harrisburg. As I said, I went on a seminar to York, where we had a man come and give a speech. He was terrific. We've been to, on a seminar to York, or not York, to Hershey. That was quite interesting. Just seeing Hershey School was interesting. I can remember Kathy Plum had a little van, and we all went down there, down and back in one day. We just about missed getting down there in time for the lecture. And we went through some houses in Williamsburg that I had not been through before. That was quite interesting.
Mount Vernon?
No.
Did you ever go to Mount Vernon?
I've been there on my own. But I didn't get there this year on the trip. One trip we went down to Lancaster. And went through a farm museum there, and then went to see a movie there. That was a guide appreciation tour. That was a trip to Falling Water. I went to that. Linden Hall. I was really impressed with Linden Hall. I didn't think there would be. That was like, you know, out in nowhere, and here's a castle.
It's beautiful.
That was really very pretty. I enjoyed that trip. We've had a lot of, you know, good things being a guide that, and really I have grown in knowledge just being a guide here. I've learned an awful lot. I've appreciated a lot more. I wish I had known these things, back when I was 20, I'd have a lot more stuff today. I was here while this pussycat lived here.
Oh, Holly.
Holly lived here. And when I first was here, you could be taking people through the museum, and Holly would be up in the master bedroom on the bed, sleeping away. And then they decided the museum was not Holly's abode anymore, and so they built that little entranceway into the basement. And then Holly would have to stay down there. But Holly was here for a long time. Yeah.